This episode is supported by Cannasure, insurance designed to protect and grow the cannabis industry nationwide. Learn more and get appointed at Cannasure.com. Hello, everyone. This is Don Jurgler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. It's a crazy world nowadays. A little over 2 years ago, we had the Kardashians, an apolitical view of drinking or injecting bleach, and interest rates around 3%. Now we have a war in Europe, a pandemic that just won't go away, supply chain issues and inflation that requires a glance at your banking app to check your checking before filling up on gas. It's weirder in cannabis. It's always weirder. When everything locked down a few years back, cannabis got going. Restaurants and retailers closed doors, dispensaries boomed. Fast forward to now. Inflation and a superheated job market are the prevailing concerns. But the big concern in cannabis today is a glut in long legal states like Colorado, where the price of flower is down over 40%, and this is forcing some companies out of business and triggering layoffs. This was reported recently atop Marijuana Business Daily's homepage in a headline reading, "Adult-use marijuana companies struggle to stay afloat amid overproduction, falling prices." If one would think all of this, the glut, the prevailing economic headwinds, supply chain issues, and inflation would have a trickle-down effect on the cannabis insurance business, one would be right. Eric Schutz, a vice president with GenCap Specialty Insurance Services, whose LinkedIn profile has proudly boasted Cannabis Insurance Ninja for a number of years, has seen policyholders lately second-guess the need for policies, balk at premiums, and even consider self-insuring. I recently spoke with Schutz for the lowdown on the cannabis low, which is hopefully more of a brief lull.
Well, essentially all the items that you mentioned and macroeconomic forces are putting immense pressure on expenses. And for most operations, especially in the cannabis space, the insurance spend is one of your biggest line items next to payroll. So we now are in a place where that particular spend is being looked at and scrutinized greatly. So we have operators looking to reduce costs, self-insure, different types of risk transfer, and the nature of the large cannabis operations spend is absolutely going to change, and the risk management structure and the importance of risk management in these operations is going to change greatly in the next 6 months, in my opinion.
Well, you got into some of the fallout, and that's kind of my next question. Are people dealing with this by buying fewer policies? Are they shopping more? Are they looking at different risk transfer methods?
I think the first step is really just looking at the existing coverages you have and the value proposition, bang for the buck, rates, whether you have adequate limits and coverages in the place that you need them. And I think that's the first step is looking at what you have and making sure that it's efficiently used. Next is, self-insuring, looking at whether, that perfect picture that you want to insure is no longer within your budget. So getting creative to set higher retentions and do, different risk management tactics to lower that spend and transfer some of that risk to yourself instead of the insurance company. And then lastly, there are some more creative vessels coming through like captives and other risk transfer methods that we see more in the traditional market space that are coming over cannabis. And I think we're going to see a lot more creativity, especially in the large MSO space as market develops.
It sounds like you're talking to people about this a lot lately.
Yeah, absolutely, Don. Every day, especially the larger operators, this has become to the forefront where in the past there was a situation where a lot of the spends that cannabis companies were making, they weren't really looking at the value or the cost of it. They were just writing checks. And the old days of cannabis CEOs being fundraisers instead of executives, and I think that was actually a good Freudian slip there, fundraisers. Yes, fundraisers and raisers. Now they have to actually be chief executives with business acumen. The marketplace is definitely in for a rude awakening, in my opinion.
Yeah, so the big R, is behind everybody's worries. I mean, let's put a human face on this. I mean, the folks you deal with, are they genuinely concerned about where the market is, the insuring cannabis market, about what what they do. Are they genuinely concerned about where things are headed in the next few months?
Absolutely. I think every mom and pop operator and operators, even the middle market space, are very concerned because margins are getting thinner by the day. And, you know, a lot of them are concerned and actually are afraid of federal legalization because of what that will do to their bottom lines. So now they're looking at, you know, increased competition, pressure from all sides. So I think, you know, we're going to see a lot more consolidation and hopefully that those mom and pops and smaller operations can either create a brand that has value and that they can either sell or leverage, or they find another way to consolidate and integrate so they have a better operation, because I think the small retail operators are very, very short for this world, in my opinion.
What else is going to be affected by this? Risk management practices and risk management spending? I mean, basically how people are doing business all along their operation is going to probably be examined, and they're going to have to cut some corners, right?
Absolutely. I think there's two major things you're going to see. Right now, you're not seeing risk managers with seats on the boards of a lot of the largest cannabis corporations in the country. You're going to see them bringing on top risk managers to help structure their insurance program, monitor their insurance spend. And then on the other side, the second aspect of it is implement risk management procedures in the day-to-day that will ensure that certain losses don't happen, or that they have a more attractive risk to present to the insurers so they have lower rates. So I think you're going to see it coming from management, from the top, and then also from the bottom, from procedures and policies across the organization, which is all good. Now, it's good for safety. That's good for consumer protection, for employee safety. So there's going to be a lot of good things that come from it, but it's going to be a bumpy road in the meantime.
I mentioned the glut at the start of the podcast. Now let's get into that. MJBiz reports that Colorado, Oregon, and Washington are among the more mature markets where wholesale cannabis prices have tumbled, putting a strain on cannabis growers, retailers, and even ancillary businesses. Could it be that things in these states went a bit too fast? Well, the website notes that Oregon has more than 780 cannabis retail stores for a state with a population of 4.2 million. Is that too many stores? Not enough? Well, it is Oregon. To talk about the glut and its impact on cannabis insurance buyers, and therefore sellers, I reached out to Stephanie Bizzuto, the co-founder and president of marketing at Cannabis Connect Insurance Services. Hey, thanks for being here, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me, Don.
So the cannabis industry has so far been immune to the pandemic, but things are kind of getting interesting now. Now, we have inflation on one hand, but in well-established legal states, we have a glut and falling cannabis prices. How is this impacting your business, your customers?
So what we're seeing is, years ago, the wholesale value of the price per pound for cannabis in California was around $1,800 to $3,600 a pound, depending on if the strain was extremely unique. Now we're seeing the wholesale value below $1,000 a pound. So what we're seeing now is a reduction in payroll, reduction in revenue, and also a reduction in the inventory value that is the cannabis stock on their insurance policy, because the replacement cost value from the carriers, or excuse me, its actual cash value, is based on wholesale. So if the price is now in half, they need to slash that in half. So we're seeing some changes. We're seeing operators trim the fat, per se, and really look at making very conscientious decisions when it's based around expenses.
Can you offer some anecdotes? You don't have to name names or anything, just some generalities would do when they're trimming this fat. Where are they trimming? You know, policies, I guess, maybe?
So policies just organically will need to come down, because if you think about it, revenue and payroll are two big components that are rating factors on insurance policies, right? So payroll is a factor on workman's comp. Revenue is a factor on what's being rated for general liability, product liability. So if those are going down organically, the policies or naturally the policy premiums will have to go down and mirror that. But what we're also seeing in the insurance industry as a whole, not just in cannabis, is because of inflation and because of property policies and property claims have gone up, that even if they do make these reductions, the premiums are still going to go up at least 5 to 15%, just because the insurance industry is looking to make up for lost costs from, you know, wildfires, materials and other things of that sort. So we are seeing a increase in a few different areas.
Well, it sounds like a lot of pressure from a lot of places. Do you have any specific anecdotes or examples of your customer? I had to have a call with a customer the other day, sort of thing. I mean, I'm sure you did. But and again, you don't need to name any names.
Yeah.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But
yeah. So the last 2 weeks, I pretty much did a tour up and down the coast of California, visiting some of my clients, and they're all pretty much echoing the same thing. They're frustrated that the price per pound is so low. They're concerned because although the cultivation tax was removed, from what I was told, it's just a temporary removal. We don't know if it's going to affect them in the near future, but it really isn't enough that California has done to really help them with this taxation issue. And, you know, quite frankly, after listening to the update from Headset, where they provide data from spenders and buyers all throughout the U.S. and specifically in California, we're not seeing a ton of new cannabis consumers in the marketplace. We are seeing the younger generation make their way in, but what we're also noticing is the regulars, quote unquote, are spending less. And the reason they're spending less is because of inflation, you know, gas prices, grocery prices, things like that. So they are still going to the dispensaries to buy product, but they're buying a smaller quantity. So now this is having a ripple effect. And so the clients that I've talked to on the road this last week explained to me that they're noticing another thing is the price per pound is low as far as the cultivation, but the retail pricing is still the same. So that's a really interesting fact that that was brought about this last week. So I'm wondering when that impact will take place at the retail level. Again, this was just from a few people. I can't really speak for all, but for the few that I did meet with, those are some interesting facts that we're learning about.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of talking to your clients, which of course is your job. How else are you dealing with all of this?
Checking in with them regularly, just making sure they're okay. If there's any way that I can be of resource by doing an introduction, some of my cultivators are looking for buyers of product. There's too much product out there in the marketplace and not enough buyers at this moment. So there's an oversaturation. So really just trying to help each other and connect the dots and do what we've been doing for the last 6 years is when times are rough in the cannabis industry, how can we help in any way possible to alleviate some of that pressure? Because remember back in 2016, we were mostly dealing with compliance regulations. At the time, there was hardly any insurance markets in the space. So there was a capacity issue and we survived it. And here we are today with a different type of pain. So I would definitely say that the members in the cannabis industry are extremely resilient. They're very strong entrepreneurs. They're big risk takers. And I think that they will remain strong and be okay. We're definitely going to see some exit the industry, which we've seen already. We've seen some where they're lowering their payroll. They're having to remove some of their workforce to hang on and survive. But I think the strong will make it. And I think the ones that will likely not make it may have not had a winning chance to begin with. It really is based on spending, financials, and really good pro formas, good planning, and good execution. And those are the ones that are succeeding.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. You can find other episodes from this series by visiting insurancejournal.tv. Until next time, I'm Don Jurgler.